couple of days ago.
King Muhammad.
That's when I need to do it.
Yeah. We'll continue where we left off on Monday. Senses and the whole body serves brain perception. However, the senses and the whole body serve human perception. So we know we have these senses of taste, sense of hearing, sense of smell, sense of sight, and sense of feeling. We have these five senses. But the whole body serves the need in the brain for perception.
You don't do that anymore.
No, go
the life of the body is, quote, the lifeblood. The lifeblood, the whole body is the life. But what life is feeding the whole body?
You watch this?
The lifeblood, and that comes from scripture. Not the Quran, the book, the Bible, and other scriptures. Not only other scriptures, statements from philosophers that didn't call themselves religious. But they were. They didn't understand it then. They also have given blood as a life of the body. So the spirit is seen in an activity and production. Spirit is seen in activity and production. So spirit is seen in activity and production. So you say you've got spirit. I don't see no activity. You say you got spirit. I don't see your production. What you produce. You got spirit. So Quran chapter 3, 6, May, future, and womb. I gave you your picture, more than one, when you were in the womb of your mother, right? I gave you your picture, more than one, in the womb of your mother. So we come out African, Chinese, and Asian, Nigerian, Guyanese, whatever, all of these. So the Quran chapter 3, 6, God forms us in the womb of our mother. So God says he forms us in the stomach or in the womb of our mother to give us the form. So the form is first, isn't it? The life in the mother was the life dependent upon her. The life outside is the life of independence. But we have to grow step by step into that life. So the immediate delivery is not independent except for separation from her body, not a dependency on her physical body anymore. So we start to be dependent upon the second mold. The first mold, the mother. The second one is this word out here. This world out here we shape in our mother. And then we are delivered in time as God sent it, and we are delivered into this world, another mold to shape us. So we are formed first time without our consciousness, awareness of it. We had not awareness of ourselves being formed or the form we were taking. Then we were delivered into this world, and then the next mold we learned about the first one. Where I was, how I was formed, yes. And this is the world for us to have our individual responsibility for our own life, or I say relative independence. So life, God created it so to give back him. So the life is for God, that's the point. We must give our life to God. The God that gives us our life and the means for keeping our life, we must give our life to him. It's nothing short of that. He has nothing less than that. We give the life to him. My personal life must be lived for God. So the Quran chapter 3, 7, men of understanding. Allah reveals secrets to whom he pleases. Who are the logical? Elbay means who have the first knowledge. It is rational mind, and that is pure innocence. The logical mind is first innocent and pure. Then later it becomes corrupt in the world. So for the Quran, chapter 3, 7, al-Zayd. People of the original knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that no one gets the hidden meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that knows the hidden meaning. And another place, the only one to get it. Ul-Azayd. Or even it becomes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's what's the name, right?
Or Ul-Azayd.
Yeah.
Ul-Azayd means the people of the original knowledge. Who got the original knowledge? People blessed with the original knowledge. Who are blessed with the first principle, the essence. Those who are blessed with the essence. When you are blessed with the essence, it's like keys. And you can unlock the mysteries. Ul-Azayd is more than man of understanding. They understand because they got something that nobody else got. They simply mean door or gate or study or chapter. Ul-Azayd means they got the very first one, the very first knowledge, the one that Moses was questioning. He said that was Majizati. I could agree with him, but that's a bad way to put Moses. Bad life to put Moses in. Because Melchizedek means the spirit of truth. And if the spirit of truth was not obeyed by Moses, look, like Moses was disobedient. Imam Kamiluddin, I heard you refer to as his nature as Melchizedek. Imam Davidin Muhammad, that's right. Imam Kamel Adin, the nature that one you rise up in the human being after he. Melchizedek is nature transmitted to conscience. So Imam W.D. Muhammad, the original nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the original nature is Melchizedek. But only when that nature is consciously being transmitted. When that nature is purely being transmitted in the right way, and purity is being transmitted to the conscience, that's Melchizedek. Yes, sir. And Moses did have trouble following that. Moses was a man given to temperamental outbursts. And God says in the Quran that that was before his conversion or before his prophethood. And remind those who changed him, and remind those who changed him with being that way. That was before his prophethood. The trick of him and the wise man was before his prophethood. So nature awakens conscience, which improves nature. Once he gets the understanding of Zach, he says, it's on you now, your conscience. It has entered your conscience. It shows you how the conscience is supposed to be the leader, and the nature is supposed to awaken the conscience only. But once the conscience is awakened, then it's supposed to study nature to improve upon the nature, and
Erica
to free the nature to give greater freedom to the nature.
That's Erica Badu.
So it begins to prepare a place for the nature, a greater place in the world.
They
a more dignified place in the world for the nature.
Huh?
But it can't do anything until it first gets light. So Imam Davidin Muhammad, yes, that's right. Now he finally saw, and he told him how many times he Tedri told him Moses. He told him three times. Yes, see that? The key is the number of times he told him. The third time is that now it has entered into your spiritual conscience. See, nature tries to awaken us. Nature tries to awaken us. Nature itself, though flesh, but not where it wants to get. It wants to get into the consciousness. So it finally comes up into the intellect, right? And the intellect is blind. It's still blind a lot of time. Can't see it. But finally it gets through. the intellect into the consciousness. And the ones that get there, that's it. You take it from there. So nature will knock on your rational mind forever. But once it enters your conscience, if you don't pay attention to it, it just slips right on out of the way. So if that's what you want to go on, the conscience means that really you have recognized it. When once a thing enters your conscience, you have recognized it. You have accepted it. Yes, sir. Whether you understand or not, you have accepted it. Once you have accepted it, it's your responsibility. So once you accept it, it's your responsibility. The wrong can be in your habit. Wrong can be even in your rational thinking. But you won't be punished for it. But once it enters your conscience, a lot of people do wrong. But they do it because their intellect can't see it, can't see the evil. When the intellect sees the evil, that means it has entered. Nature made a mother to birth the conscience.
Is that the one
we're talking about? Isn't that wonderful how nature has made a mother, and we call it Mother Nature? Nature is our mother. Mother isn't going to care for you always. She aren't responsible.
No, not in here.
It's your fault.
LA. Must have been
I taught you that. So the Quran chapter 3:7, the Quran verses basic and allegory. So the Quran chapter 3:7, Quran verses basic and allegorical. Allegorical, mustahabiha. Mustahabiha means it resembles and explains. So one term here, this translation, allegorical, is a subject of dispute in certain circles of the Islamic scholar. Many of them object to the translation allegorical. The English term allegorical, allegorical means describing, casting, representing, putting in picture that is abstract or that is referring to function, relationships, etc. Putting in a picture that which is abstract. Pictures formed to better convey the idea to the mind. So that is a simple statement, is what allegorical means. Now, with the particular translation of this word in the Quranic, in Arabic, mustahabiha, so they have difficulty with it. If I say something useless, using the same word in the present tense, verb form, something useless, it means it resembles that. But this word mustahabiha is a very sensitive and technical expression. It doesn't mean just a simple resemblance of a symbolic representation. It also means that it is what you call the word analytical. Analytical means something that is not only conveying in picture or symbol, but it also is explaining something. Sura means firmness, deep knowledge. Now the term Reshikuna is the plural form of the kind of a non-verb. If you can understand that terminology, for one person, it would be restikuna. And it says that this restikuna, they say all it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this telling us? It is telling us, drawing our attention to the tendency in the studious and virtuous student. And some people caught up in the mythological exoticism, secret doctrine, the tendency in them to grab concepts and run with them thinking they got it all. That is what this is addressing. And those people who do that, they run into the deep and they look for the deepest water. And they dive off the pier, that is in front of the deepest water possible for them. And they go off into, and they try to swim instead of going in the moderate water first and see if you can swim in that. If you can swim in that, then take off into the deep water. You know that will be safer. So it's referring to people like that. And they are not grounded in knowledge. What is the meaning of grounded in knowledge? Here again, we have a problem finding a term that would do justice to the Arabic term, Ratsakun after Adam. What do we mean by grounded in knowledge? Ratsakun. It's a word that carries with it not only firmness, but depth. Those who have depth of knowledge, deep knowledge. Those who have roots of knowledge. Those who have epistemologically science. And now how many understand that? Who is telling me what I see? Who is teaching me every time they get a chance? How many have that kind of understanding? Only a few people have that kind of understanding. And it takes long study to get that kind of understanding. And it takes a blessing of God. God rewards your long search and blessing of Almighty God. So I just want to let a couple of the people know here that because I don't reply back to you, don't think I don't hear you. I hear you, and I'm the email here. And don't want to get excited. I'm the imam here, and I'm the leader of this community. If I don't want you here, I can tell you to go anytime I'm ready. That's right. So don't think I don't see you and hear you. I do. But you're welcome to stay here. You can't make any trouble for me. So rest assured that the person's comfortable, not tense, with the knowledge. So this word restakun also means that the person is comfortable with his knowledge. Those who are all tense and tight with their knowledge, they can't be restakun. If you're the restakun, you are not uptight. You are not rigid. You are not an ice man. If you're really a restakun, you're relaxed. You're comfortable with your knowledge. You see? So Allah is the greatest, Allahu Akbar. I'm a kind of different teacher, you know. I don't know what you expect when you come here. Maybe you expect a man who's going to come out and rail on people for being in sin. Maybe some of you think you're going to come out and hear somebody conform to the formalities of the intellectuals, oratory. I don't know what you expect when you come here the first time. So maybe when you come here and you see me, you say, what is this? He doesn't know what he's doing. He hasn't got it together. Well, I'm a man that likes to be comfortable. Sometimes I have something on my mind, and I want to rush right to it and get it over. And sometimes I want to just relax. So why can't I be myself? So I prefer to just be myself. So I'm not rushing. I'm relaxing. I'm just taking it easy. I'm being myself as always. So the Quran chapter 3:7, Ul-Al-Day, men of understanding. Ul-Al-Day means the door, but when you put it in the language, it doesn't mean door. It means more than door. And Ul means first. And Al-Day means the door. So the first door of the first of the door in the singular. But you could say the first of the door, or the first door, men of the first door. And it means men of moral logic, men of logic governing how we should behave. That's the first door. Men who are devoted to the reasoning and the logic that governs how human beings are to behave. I said, moral, but it's a little bit more than just moral. And that's a logic that evolved naturally. And it was the first exercise of reasoning for the human being. First thing wanted to deal with was human behavior. Because if human beings, if they don't accept some discipline for their behavior, how can they then perform in any field of discipline if they can't discipline themselves? So it's the first door. Is that not right? It's the first door. Men of the first door, also men possessors. UL, it could mean possessor. They are owners, possessors of the door. By a certain reasoning, owners of the door. So they are the first at the door. And because they are first at the door, they are owners of the door. So this is psychological language, philosophical language, pardon me. Reasoning that supports life and nature. That's what it is, the reasoning that wants to serve the uplift of nature. And life, men of life, loosely speaking. So the Quran chapter 4 created from a single soul. So in scripture, God is also telling the man that not only has he forgotten that he has to work for the survival of himself as a human person or a soul. He has forgotten he must work for the survival of his flesh. The man was treating his woman as though she belonged not to his flesh. However, the man was not mistreating his woman because his flesh had gotten off the track. He was mistreating her because his inner person had gotten off the track. So the male needs a female to reproduce himself. But God was letting the man know that he was going to produce something that would have the ability to reproduce the mate out of it. So therefore, although the function, like a male, it also has the power to act within itself and function as a female. So this is the prophet who produced a society out of his divine knowledge, which then reproduces other humans. And their Bible, the prophet is called she, because he can function as both. The main role of the leader is to function as a man, which is to give the germ of life to the society. So when there is no society to receive the germ, he has to put himself in the society and feed himself. How? Because one gives him his germ, he gives his body, so that they will be a receptor to receive his germ. So the Quran chapter 4, 1, mankind from one soul. Genesis 21:23, Eve helped mate Eve from rib. So God is not some weird magician that brings earth together, turns it into flesh all of a sudden, reaches it, and then takes out a rib from a person that he has already made complete. If he needed the rib, why didn't he leave it out in the first place? That is a description of someone doing hazardous work or a pick-up job. To pick a man saying that we need a woman, then go back into the man and tear his chest open to take out a rib, how to make a woman. What is that written in Genesis on Adam, his wisdom? And it makes a lot of sense when you interpret it like this, without the knowledge to read the language properly to a loss. What is the rib? And who is this Adam? So the Adam is Jesus, the prophet deep sleep. This Adam is Jesus, the prophet that God made. After making him, he turned him over to the world. The man was complete and perfect. God made him. But when he turned his body, his teaching, his thoughts, his mind, over to the world. It fell under a deep sleep. It was only perfect and right as long as it was in Jesus. And Jesus was with God. Once Jesus was taken away from God, meaning that he left the world, passed away, or died, but Jesus, or that particular body of spiritual knowledge, wisdom and understanding, was given to the world. The world is a God. The world is called a God. And the world is fell under a deep sleep and begins to have a desire. It felt lonely, and it needed it and wanted something. So the book says in the Genesis that it is not God. No, it is not good that the man should be alone. This means that it is not good that the early Christian community should be lonely and suffering like it was. So what God is speaking, this is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the creator of the church. Adam himself, and he was already dead divinely. The birth of life is not as the Bible Genesis would make you think. The birth of divine origin. This birth was the birth of a graphic world order. It was the birth of something false or contrary to divine. Men should not be alone. Help me. His environment. So the man comes to life and he saw a need for a wife. The Bible doesn't say wife, it says that the man should not be alone. The man felt lonely. He needed something for himself. The Bible says that God made for him a helpmeet in the early part of Genesis. The word helpmeet is referring to the physical environment that we come into. It is not referring to a woman as you have been taught. It goes on to refer to the physical environment and its higher evolution. So first term, nothing but simple earth, crude, raw creation. Later, this woman is called the religious church or the religious body. Also, the woman is called a biological woman or the man's physical wife. The physical wife is the least thing that this book Bible is talking about. The main thing it is talking about is the Christian church. So with the rib a woman was made. The book says that the man went into a deep sleep. After he went into a deep sleep, a rib was taken out of him. With the rib a woman was made. Do you know that there are people, some of whom are intelligent, who are foolish enough to really believe that this actually happened that way? This is possible because they were raised to think in such a way. You can't bring a man from China who has never raised in a Christian community and tell him that story and get him to accept it that way. You'll confuse him so much that he'll speak some language that won't even be. Help me is material growth. Alone, now because it is small, persecuted, and suffering. So we have to give it a help me. There is much in this, but we don't have time to give it all to you. The help me is material growth and material accumulation. The church needed some material wealth. So bone, symbolic of knowledge that supports the rib. Symbolic of sentimentality. The scripture tells us that the woman was made from the rib of the man. Rib of the man means from one of the bones that is weak and flexible. You can bend it out of shape and it's close to the heart. So the rib is close to the heart. What bone is this? And what do we mean by bone? Bone means a body of knowledge in divine language. Bone means knowledge that is strong enough to support the moral form of the people. Like your bones and your body are strong enough to support your flesh. So this God that is doing the work of grafting is not the real God. He takes from the total body of knowledge that Jesus left in the world, the weakest body of knowledge in the total body. Was that we call sentimentality, emotionalism. That's the real. That was taken out of the body of knowledge called Jesus in the Genesis to make the church. So deep sleep fell on the wisdom body of knowledge. So what happened is that the man, the church, turned where it was once united with God to his wife, the new church. This new church is not Jesus' body, but this church is made of Jesus' body. The man turned to it and listened to it instead of the God that found Jesus himself. So what happened to the true spirit, the true mind, the wisdom body of knowledge, body of Jesus? When this happened, it fell asleep. There was nothing to continue to feed it. It was no longer in touch with the divine maker. It only had emotionalism feeding on it. So it went into a deep sleep. So forbidden tree is truth mixed with false, with knowledge. The book says that the one tree was pointed out to the man, and he was told not to eat of it, because the day he ate of it, he will surely die. So what is this forbidden tree? That if you eat of it, you will surely die. It is mixed up knowledge, lies mixed with truth. Religious truth mixed up with religious lies. It is the tree of religious lies and religious truth growing together in one tree. So when you eat the fruit of that tree, you're eating a religious body of knowledge that looks like religion. But when it goes into you, there are religious lies in the truth. It kills you spiritually. It kills you as a divine person. Oh, I don't believe that. I know I'm a good Christian, and it didn't kill me. Well, maybe you're not dead yet. If you're dying, if you hold on to Christianity, you will soon be dead. Man, dream, will, intellect, and man. There are three parts of the man in the human form. There is willpower. There is also wit, that part of the intelligence that glorifies in its own product. It's like to show off. Witty man was once not a show-off thing. It was humble and submissive, and it was agreeable with divine dictates. When it was in the form, it was upright. Serpent upright is obedient intelligence, later called the lick the dust. So in Genesis, the serpent is described as an upright serpent before it committed sin. Remember that the serpent here is not wit, but obedience, intelligence. So when the serpent committed sin, it was cursed to go on its belly in the earth, according to the Genesis. This means that if you turn your intelligence into a tool to match with you in the divine being, you will fall down on the earth. For God will no longer feed your intelligence. It won't remain upright. It won't have the power to stand up against the gravity of materialism. It will fall down on the earth, crawling like a snake. And it will be cursed to lick the dust. That means that it will be cursed to feed upon nothing but materialism, and that will prevent the continuation of its divine growth. So willpower first obedience, with not always intelligence. So we have in the story the willpower. Originally, it was will in the man that was given to certain creation by God from his own will. The will came into the world because the intelligence, and it was upright until it rebelled against its own nature. So when it rebelled against its maker, intelligence fell down to wit. Wit is not always intelligent. Let's see if we can give you something that will help you to see it. Even in our common talk, today we may speak of another person as being a little creature, still carrying this old language from thousands of years ago. So we mean that he goes like a snake on the ground, out of view, crawling, so he can hide in the grass. So women wore men wound of mine. So the Quran chapter 4:1, reverence the wound that bore you. Samuel 2:5, the barren has borne seven. They that were poor have hired out of themselves for bread. And they that were hungry, so that the barren have borne seven. And she that has many children is wax fleable. So woman, woe man, mean woe of mind. Woe into man. So Genesis 22 and the rear, this is the Lord God has taken from man, made him a woman, and brought her into the man. Made him a woe man, just like Adam, didn't turn out to be what he intended the first time, the woe man. I did not say woman. Most people don't say woe man. They go away women, and this is because the Christian went astray from the past. In the opening prayer that we say for all of you, not for those who went astray. The Christians went astray and got the wrong idea about the woman and started calling her woe man. The woe of mine. Woe into man. So women is the womb of man. Mothers bring the child through a second womb. Now we didn't do that, those who strayed did that. When you study the natural function of women from human society, she is a womb. Every life comes from her male and female, high and low. She gets them first, and she has to pass on to us, right? And if she is a good mother, she will pass her child on to us after she has brought that child to his second womb. The first womb is her natural womb. Then she takes that child into her loving care, and she raises the discipline, discipline him to protect him from the hard life. So mother with woman progresses to her child. Men is not really a world, but world. So she gives him a beginning in the role of knowledge. And that knowledge she gives him, we call it mother wit. So after she passes him out of the womb of her home, the traditional knowledge that has been passed down to the mother, whatever knowledge he has of the spirit, of God, whatever experience he had herself, her learning, she tried to give that to them, but that to her children, so that when her child goes from her father's father out there in the street with the man, who are not really words, but world. The house is a world. It is a good house. The street is not a world, but world. he's going to run into many worlds in the streets. So she knows all those worlds don't exist. They are in conflict with each other, and her child needs protection. So she gives the child the best of herself. So her child will survive when it goes out into the world. That's because it is many worlds that differ one with another. It's a jungle, a wild wilderness, so to speak. So Genesis 22, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made him a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. In scripture at this first, he made a woman. He did not get a woman. We are getting a woman now. The man did not say, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. Here it makes us believe that woe means to take out, but you can't find the definition for that anywhere. So it is not the definition, but there is something inside hinted here. Since the woman was separated from the man, now she is no more whole with the man, no more agreeable with the man. So she is the woe of the man. I want you to know, sisters, this is not talking about you as a female or a flesh biological being. The barren has borne seven. Hannah is a society, unable to produce a product. Society is called woman. Women, childless, can be mothers to her husband. So let us look at another thing in the Bible that is very important. I want to repeat down from a Samuel chapter, verse 2 to verse 5. Barren means a woman who was not able to have a child or did not have one until that time. She was blessed. Who is this talking about? This is talking about Hannah. And I know you have heard the song, Hard-Hearted Hannah. I'm not talking about that Hannah, who is a band of Savannah, Georgia. Hannah was a woman who was barren. She had not given birth. She was growing old. She had not her husband with a child. So she wanted a child. This made her bitter because she didn't have the child. This is a woman's nature. If they cannot give birth, what are they here for? They are here to have children. Most of them don't know that just simply because their physical individual womb cannot deliver. It does not mean that they should not have children. She's a woman. She still has her nature. She has all the power, the faculties, and all the sentiments of a woman. So the motherly nature and the motherly knowledge is there. So if she wants to be a mother, all she has to do, since she does not have a child, is be a mother to her husband. Her husband needs a mother. The husband needs his mother. He misses her. You don't think that when a man leaves his mother, he does not miss her. When I am talking about now, I read this verse to get on another subject, and it is, guess what it is? Prophet, and how his prophet is born. We have a woman here, Hannah, who is really a society, and it hasn't been able to give birth or realize among them a prophet, a godly inspired man, who is able to give them inspired knowledge. So the society is called woman. When you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and you see the society is called woman. Seeds are called woman. Society becomes your mother. Judge becomes your father. So the society are called woman. Why? Because when you leave your home, or if you are barren or orphan, or if you are a child in the streets without parents, what's going to be your mother, society? Would you grow up and leave your father's house? Whose house do you come under? You come under the rule of society. Society becomes your mother, and the judge becomes your father. And if the mother turns you over to father, you get whipped. And I am just trying to help you so that you can read this book and make some sense out of it. So the Quran, chapter 5, 17, God destroyed Jesus' mother. Who else has power? Matthew 26:39. Jesus prayed face on ground. He didn't just have a Holy Ghost and a Jesus Christ working with him. Whatever force you see is working with him, even if it's working against him, it is working with him. Nothing can work against him without working with him. Because if it's working against him, it's going to manifest its wrongness, its wrongdoing. It's going to manifest or prove itself wrong. It's going to prove itself inferior to God's will and plan. So in working against God, in the end, that thing testifies to the glory of God. So look all of his opposition to God. When you look at it in Scripture, what does it do? Does it hurt God? No. It testifies to the glory and the might of God. Is that not right? So see, everything serves God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, nothing comes to me in any state except the state of a servant. So he doesn't allow any creatures coming to him as a God. You can only come to him as a servant. That's what he says in our holy book. All the laws that man have made, they have made what the Creator did before they got started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in our holy book, he says, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would decide to destroy Jesus and his mother and every creature on the back of the earth? Who could bring them back? Now, I think Jesus loves this kind of talk. Why? Because the Quran, chapter 5, 27 and 31, son of Adam, Genesis 4:1, Cain and Abel. So war on ability, zokir, equals ability. Thinking, that's Abel. Abel was older than and was son of Adam. So Cain was considered Eve's child. So I got a child from the Lord equals I've taken the behavior, nature from God. It's no more with God. It's obeying me. Devil, Jacob, got his start from his mother who taught him how to deceive. Eve was teaching Cain equals she would be his influence, not God. Abel gave the flesh of the womb to God, and Cain gave the fruit of the ground as sacrifice. Fruit of the womb is the behavior. Abel gave his behavior to God. He obeyed. So God in his behavior didn't obey God, and Cain didn't obey God in his behavior. He gave fruit to the ground. Because he thought by him progressing and progressing the intellect that he was serving God. And he thought that his aiding the intellect to develop was a greater charity, sacrifice to God, than obedience. The world of the wicked think our righteousness is nothing as much of a tribute to God as the advancement of science, etc. So trouble came. From Cain comes trouble Cain, craftsmen in all fields, skillful, artistic, industrialization, modernization of the world came from pain. Trouble means the power. Science, how to form material matter. Instruments to contain the spirit. So Jubal Cain, the musician, makes a tub, and the spirit goes into the tub. Two, it makes the sound he likes. It appears not to his intellectual ear, but to his seasonal ear. Not only the musical instrument, but the mold of industry. It now becomes tools to house your spirit, if you can form the material environment, so it can contain the spirit of the man. Then however you design it, that's how his spirit will come out. Abel must have been the religious order, society that was here before the industrialists. And the industrialist killed his brother who was before him by hitting him in the head. One working to cultivate the spiritual life, moral nature, so human nature would be prepared proper before God. The other was working to extract all the sciences out of the matter, universe. He got jealous of his brother because the people cared more for the service that Abel was doing than Cain. Cain went to take the admiration, influence from his brother. So Cain is the Western democracy, the industrialists. What to discredit the more God-fearing man? He took up a stone, threw it, and hit his brother in the head. His blood soaked the ground, equals the blood is the life of the religious society. They have taken that science that was to feed wisdom to guide human behavior. They've taken it and made it just the appetite. They take it now only to appeal to their intellect instead of taking it to know how to behave. Cain is Western democracy. The people who manage the resources of the earth are those wars on the ability of the common man. Your main flight is not racism. Your main flight is not racism. It is a fight to defend your ability. So the Quran chapter 5:27-31, Abel Cain. Genesis 4:2-15. Cain and Abel. Hadith, ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of a mortal. 1 Corinthians 3:2. Milk said, not meant, you not able to handle it. So what is the difference between their two sacrifices? One sacrifice was of the ground. His sacrifice was of the reed. The reed is a plant that grows straight up. Cain, that is where he gets his name. God didn't want his sacrifice. He wanted Abel's sacrifice. What was Abel's sacrifice? Abel's sacrifice was sheep. Cain with material logic. So the reed that Cain reads, straight reads, represents material logic. Material logic follows a straight course. It must be consistent. You establish a premise. The second premise must support the first premise. They must follow consistent. But it doesn't have body. Its purpose is not to give body. Its purpose is only to establish a discipline. It's a logic. Its purpose is to establish a great non-violating discipline. So the reed got a big opening in Cain. The reed got a big opening in it. Most of the reed grows up with a big hole in there. So he offered that to God. God does not accept that offering. Why? Because he didn't make the first offering. The acceptable is the sheep. You didn't offer the sheep. you offer the dream. Oh, I am going to give something to God's wisdom. I got some great material wisdom. I'm going to give this to the world. This will make a great contribution to the world. The world, great material world, offers great logic.
Okay.
I am going to give them material. God said, where is your sheep? You aren't got none. You can't put your reed and jam it. What does sheep represent? Sheep represents human. Sheep represents human. The sheep is an animal that in his attributes is like the beauty of the human being. He is peaceful. He is not warlike. So this is the attribute that we love in the human being. We love to see human beings loving, not proud, sociable, warm nature. This is sheep. Oh, I want you to have that first. If you want to give him something, give him that. Show Allah that you are human.
You won't. I'll let you know.
That you are warm-hearted.
You are the
show him that you are a sociable nature with other human beings. Show him that your greatest worth that you have, you are charitable. Sheep more wool and needs charity. So the sheep is a warm-naked animal. But look, he grows more wool than he needs. So you can take his wool and put it on you. Sacrifice only certain animals. So the Quran, chapter 22:37. Sacrifice your piety, not blood, which is God. We are only allowed to sacrifice certain animals. We can't sacrifice any animals in Ekahar. Only certain animals, sheep, cows, cattle, and dogs. You can't go there with snakes and dogs and things like that. What is the meaning of sacrifice to sheep? If the sheep are so good, why do we sacrifice them? Actually, you don't understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrificing is the sheep. You don't eat his blood. It is forbidden for us to eat his blood. His blood is supposed to be for according to Scripture. But God says, what you offer me, it doesn't come to me. What comes to me is your righteousness. He says that's what you sacrifice to me on the altar. It doesn't come to me. So what is this meaning of this sacrificing of the sheep? It means that even the attributes in you must be able, selfish attitude. It must not be something in you for society. It must be something in you for Allah. Your human motivation should not be for society. It should be for Allah. So meat represents knowledge. What should you give society? You give society the meat. What does meat represent? It represents knowledge. The motivation, give it to Allah. The drive, the motivation, the ambition, give it to Allah. Submit to Him, God. My will, my motivation, my ambition are all for you. It is not for political policy. It is not for humanizing society. God is for you. You are number one for everything that I do. You are number one. I can't put society before you. I wouldn't. I'd be wrong to say that I am going to be a human, a humanitarian for the society's sake. When Allah made you like this and put this nature in me and put it in you and made it possible for me to reach you with this nature, then why should I say I am being humanitarian for society's sake? No, I'm being humanitarian for Allah's sake. And I'm doing it to please Allah. So now I am obligated to give you the knowledge. And the book says, oh, a lot of people in religion, they can handle milk, but few know how to handle meat. Meat stands for the knowledge, the wisdom, and the science. So sacrificing is your ambition. The sacrifice means you will give your humanism, motivation, your peaceful motivations, your peaceful ambitions, like the sheep gives it for Allah, for Allah's sake. If you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanism will become a disease on society. I want to take this time to announce that our beloved Imam Donnell Kareem, he will be doing Thursday night, starting this Thursday and every Thursday. And we thank Allah for him, the great brother in our community. Be sure and tune in. So artificial humanism. The sacrifice means you gave your humanism motivation, your peaceful motivation, your peaceful ambition, like the sheep did it for Allah's sake. If you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanity, your humanism will become a disease on society. So artificial humanism, having too many people lead us to an artificial humanism and over sleepless humanitarianism, where they become really sheep for the wolves of the world. We must connect this with martyrism. The highest contributions is jihad, martyrdom. What is the meaning of that? It is a sacrifice. Look at what Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said. He said the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. That is the hadith that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, has said. So sacrifice your knowledge to common man. Just to make sacrifices of that nature for your faith's sake, to keep the knowledge that will elevate the common man from him. What kind of sacrifice is that? It is an inferior sacrifice. The greater contribution will be to make the sacrifice of your ambition for God's sake, but also to give the common people the knowledge that you hold. So Cain, the rational urge, killed Abel, morally upright. The Quran, chapter 5, 27 to 31, Abel, Cain. Genesis 4, 15. Cain, whoever killed him, gets sevenfold punishment. Bukai, 3, 6, 24. Help brothers when he's wrong. El Hadith. Stage 1, 2, 97 to 78. Believers is mirror for believers. So in this religion, we accept that we are our brother's keep. The book tells us, that is, the Bible tells us, a son coming from the first man who was made or created, and that son turned in his own flesh. And he turned on his own brother and slew him. And the Bible shows us that son having to live with the question, should I be my brother's keeper? And the Bible warns the people that if they identify such persons, don't kill him. It says to kill him would be seven times worse than his crime, meaning that the man Cain killed was a morally upright man, a man who was morally motivated. Now, if you kill one who represents the urge for rational understanding in the world, even though the urge for rational understanding has brought the world under misery, brought the world into corruption, misery, and cruelty. We can't slay that particular urge in man. We must let it live. But there are some religious orders who say slay that urge in man. Don't they? They say you are not supposed to apply your rational facility in their particular religious disciplines, to fulfill your way spiritually and to cut off yourself. Separate yourself from the desire to understand rationally. That is what they tell you. We know we are supposed to be our brother's people. Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessing be upon him. He obligated us that if anyone gets a little knowledge, he doesn't have to be educated. All the people he was teaching were uneducated. Very few educated people were amongst him, and they were people from foreign societies. The people he was teaching were not educated people, and if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. We are supposed to be our brother's teacher. If you can't understand it in that high fashion, let me show you it to you in the plain, ordinary sense of the word, of holding and protecting your brother in the world. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessings be upon him, told his followers, help your brother whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, peace and the blessings be upon him, how is it that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from the wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, peace and the blessing be upon him, said, the Muslim is a mirror of his brother. A mirror will show you your defects. If you look at it, if you turn towards the mirror, it is going to show you that which is crooked, wrong. Your face is dirty. It is going to show you. If you have ugly expressions on your face, that mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are looking. And the mirror does not show you the way you are looking. The mirror is wrong. It is wrong. But it is a straight mirror. It shows you just what you are. It only reports what it sees, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that. Shouldn't no strong assist the weak? Let us not be any longer victims of this society that sensitizes morally to ignore the weak among us, thinking you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. You don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of their rulers over us, now that is their law, survival of the fittest, and they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The one who would be the one fit, the one that is destroyed, they were not fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination. What do they call in science? Natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation. And those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. So the Quran chapter 6:2, men created from clay, from dust to divine. Three the darkness, one dust, two the light. Three divine. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. Peace and blessings upon his servant and his messenger, Muhammad. Forever, Aileen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growth of the person towards the fulfillment of manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of the dust or clay. And the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When the human child comes into life in the flesh and the blood, but this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, it was existing in its father and mother. This is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth, because the father and the mother are the earth in physical form. So second growth, desire, appetite. The child then flows out of the dust. earth into the world of individual life. This life is called the life desired, and it is in the term of growth that the child develops appetites for different things of creation. Out of the individual life, the individual can grow into the third and final growth into the world of divine life. The word of divine life could only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was born through and false, the knowledge of evil as a knowledge, but it's a false knowledge. So the tree wound of darkness, the tree wound of darkness, the human being, his life in triple darkness. There are three wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds comes naturally, but falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. When we say divine, we don't mean a natural movement and growth or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come to the three stages of development for the three growth periods. But he had been born dead, stillborn, because his knowledge was false. To be born again, he would have to die in his present mind, give up his world, his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. Human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. So we are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three growths of the movement towards divine life is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to the form of kind of trinity of check and balance. But one of the three rules are the two. That is the divine person. Once you come out of the third womb, and that third life has been made divine, the pure life of divine truth has now come and removed all falsehood. In the Genesis, we have a man being made from dust. And then you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world. It is telling you to make grow the world from dust to industry. God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. When you come into the world, you come into a world that is designed to give you birth, but not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes with its different nature. The human life, a human nature, whose eyes open to the world and say, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes its world. The divine supreme being gives a supreme parent and all the material needed for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind, and he opens your eyes to the great spirit. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own, the Adam of divine will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself as a growing and developing life with all things in the mind. We are taught that before the physical world becomes obvious by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space. The atom had the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power. Originally, we were in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifested to us out of that atom into a physical world, formed to manifest the divine in us again. All praise is due to our Lord, the Son of what the honor. So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine light. The brilliant light of truth is the evolving us with this.
You know why?
Penetrating rays of light and life to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind.
Get the shit coward out of here.
The Nation of Islam, that body Christ, is which you can grow into full development of your natural growth without the hindrance of false knowledge.
Good.
Or until true guidance to bring you divine knowledge and perfection. Guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God Almighty. So look at Iron chapter 6:2, created man from clay, then another term. Genesis 2:7, man from dust of the ground. Genesis 5:1-2, created him then. When we are talking about the genesis of the birth of the man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of a single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual, but as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It said that male and female created him then and blessed them and called their name Adam. When we understand creation of the man in the Bible, Genesis, as the making or forming of a people or a righteous community, human form by word. But as we understand it in the Bible language, the language is allegorical, pictures, pain to be interpreted without interpretation. It's only pictures failing for the mind of babies like people. It's what it, this is the Bible. It is telling us about the creation or the genesis of man or a community. That is so important. That is given as a beginning or a genesis of human beings. It is just people don't start to be people until their minds are born. As long as they are not considered people, they can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled. And you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the so-called same way, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form. But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. The human being isn't necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He's only born when a certain facility are awakened in human life. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. We find in Genesis a good description of the popular human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is a physical substance that can be shaped into form that you desire. It is to be shaped into. If you take clay and form it into a form of a person, you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that God made that form clay, or the dust of the earth. He formed him, then breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the Quran chapter 6:2, man created from clay, from dust to divine. Redevelopment, dust, desire, and divine. And in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, peace and blessing be upon his servant, And his messenger, Muhammad, forever. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you become acquainted with the Bible and the Holy Quran, the better you will understand that there are three movements, growth of the person towards the fulfillment of the manifestation of divine life. The first growth is called the growth out of dust or clay. And the Lord God called man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When the human child comes into life, it is flesh and blood. But this form is not the beginning of the individual's life. Before that birth, he was existing in his father and mother. This is the same as saying that it was existing in the earth, because the father and mother are of the earth in physical form. So the second growth resides in appetite. The child then grows out of the dust, the earth, into the world of individual life. This life is called the life of desire. And it is in this term of growth that the child develops appetite for different things of creation out of the individual life. The individual can grow into a third and final growth into the world of divine life. The world of divine life can only be called knowledge until the manifestation of the presence of divine in our midst today. It was under influence of falsehood, darkness, and its knowledge was both true and false. The knowledge of evil is a knowledge, but it is a false knowledge. The three wounds of darkness. The human being begins his life in triple darkness. There are their wounds of darkness to grow out of. The growth out of all of these wounds comes naturally. But falsehood in the world acts against the natural development and prevents this knowledge from manifesting as pure divine knowledge. When we say divine, we don't mean unnatural movement, growth, or development. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. He meant that Nicodemus had come through the three stages of development, or three growth periods. But he had been born there, stillborn, because his knowledge was false to be born again. He would have to die in his present knowledge, give up his will and his mind, and be reborn in the right mind. So human growing constantly. The human being is constantly developing. But if we are not aware of ourselves as something constantly being created, we will die before we are delivered from the total wound of human life. We are talking about a growth from dust to a complete human being. Divine truth removes falsehood. None of the three groups toward divine, right? Is ever destroyed within us. They remain with us to form a kind of a trinity of check and balance. So one of the three rules of the two, that is divine person, wants to come out of the third womb. And that third life, the pure life of divine truth, has now come into and removed all falsehood.
Why are you watching people?
So in the Genesis, you had a man made from dust. And you have a city manifesting from the sky. The book is not telling you to give up the world.
Yeah.
It is telling you make grow the world from dust to industry. God's challenge. Nature shows you that every life that comes into the world must make its own world. When you come into the world, you come into the world that is designed to give you birth.
I was going to hold it for
but
you.
But not designed to satisfy your needs. Each life comes in with a different nature. The human life has a human nature. Those eyes open to the world and say, I must make my own world from the creation given to me by the Creator. Every creature makes his world. The divine supreme being gives it a supreme pattern. And all the material needs for making its world. But he himself is not going to make it for you. He gives you the nature and the mind. And he opens your eyes to the great doing. Then he challenges you by telling you to make your own. The atom of divine will. We want to also announce that on Sunday our beloved sisters come on. Man, we got some powerful sisters. You should hear them sisters. So be sure to tune in on Sunday to hear the sister. So the atom of divine will. The mission of the Nation of Islam is to first wake you up to yourself. Who is yourself? Your own self is a righteous Muslim. The first thing is to know yourself as a growing and developing life with origin in the vine. Origin in the vine, we are taught that before the physical world became observable by physical observation, there was an atom existing in the dark womb of space.
Like an important man.
That atom has the power of itself to manifest itself in the physical creation. The atom here represents divine will that is manifest by the divine power.
Oh,
originally,
I'll go off.
We were in the atom of divine will, and the Creator manifested us out of that atom into a physical realm.
It's probably
to manifest,
plan, you know,
the divine in us again. All praises are due to Allah. So kind of what the
atom.
So the light of truth, brothers and sisters, this is the day for you to grow into your divine life. The brilliant life of truth is ever evolving with us. It's penetrating rays of life and light to remove the excess of ignorance from our mind. The Nation of Islam is that body, the body of Christ, in which you can grow into full development of your natural growth. Without the hindrance of false knowledge or untrue guidance, I bring you divine knowledge and perfect guidance from the divine mind of Almighty God Allah. So the Quran chapter 6:2 created man from clay, then another term, Genesis 2:7, men from dust of ground. Genesis 5:1-2, created him then. When we are talking about Genesis or the birth of man, it's habit to refer to the birth of man as the birth of each single individual. The story begins with a picture or a description of a single individual. But as we continue this reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 5, we come to realize that the Bible is not talking about the creation of one single individual. It says that male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So when we understand the creation of the man in the Bible, Genesis, as making or the forming of a people or a righteous community, human formed by words. But if we understand it in the Bible's language, the language is allegorical, pictures, painting to be interpreted without interpretation. It's only pictures planting for the mind of baby-like people. That's what is this that the Bible is telling us about the creation or the genesis of man or the community. That is so important. That is given as a beginning or a genesis of the human being. It is this people don't start to be people until their minds are born, as long as they are not considered people. You can go to some of the mental hospitals and examine people whose minds, their minds have been totally crippled and you will see bodies, but you won't see them as people. Many of them behave and look like animals because the human mind is not whole or not operating as a living mind. Similarly, in the same, the so-called sense word, you can find many people who resemble people in physical form. But when you get acquainted with them, they resemble mad animals rather than human beings. The human being is a unique and special kind of creature. He's not necessarily born when he comes physically into the world or when he comes physically into adulthood. He's only born when certain faculties are awakened in him or her. The physical person is like a dead body in the earth with no life. We find in Genesis a good description of the peculiar human nature. It begins with a description of the human being as clay. Clay is physical substance that can be shaped into the form that you desire it to be, shaped into you don't have a person. You only have a physical image or picture of a person. Genesis tells us that. God made that from clay, the dust of the earth. He formed him and then breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Human created inside of a human. So the Quran chapter 8, 17, prophet not thrown dust till but Allah. So the Quran chapter 4, 171, Jesus' word and spirit from God. The Quran chapter 39, 4, God wants son, he takes from what he created. 40 Hadith, page 118, 38. Allah becomes your seeing, hearing. We're giving you these chapters in the Quran and in the Bible so that you can look them up. And Allah maybe will bless you to have more understanding than we have. But you have to study. So, Masjid Nasiba, Ahad Companion, Vision. John 13:16, Jesus says that not greater than sinners. Jesus, God says in plain in our Quran that he never had a consort or a female mate or a wife, that he never had children. He only has to create them as he has created those men, all the men that we have on earth. And actually, he refers mainly to, as he created man before man, he's referring to prophets mostly. So we believe that God creates a person inside of a person. God creates a human inside of a human being. That the human being is born of a woman in this world of flesh, and God can create the human being inside of that flesh. And we believe that Jesus Christ is a creation of God. And we believe that he is the Christ. But we don't believe like the Christians believe, or I should say, like the Christians express themselves or express that belief. Why do I say that? Jesus, close to God, spoke in first person. I appreciate that God be with us and guide us. I have come to understand that Jesus, like many holy men, they can speak, and at the same time they are speaking, they don't recognize themselves. They recognize only God. So they'll be speaking in the first person, and I'm convinced that Jesus was such a person, and he spoke like that. Whenever God took over his presence, then it was not him speaking, but he was speaking only what God was saying to him. And therefore, he spoke in the first person, and people took him to be God. Next, so, where do I get that understanding from? Where do I stand upon? As Muslim scholars, they say, give me the evidence. In our holy book, God says that he created you from a soul, and of it, I made it mate, and spread it from that too many men and women. If this was one, and God made of it a mate, then it says, Netsin Wahid, one soul, one person. In the Quran, Arabic particularly, self, soul, person, all of the same word. Depends on how you use it in the sentence. In the contents that we find at the beginning of man's creation, this nest is soul, not a person, it's soul. And what is it saying? It is saying that the human soul, the beginning of human life, human soul, because the body is not the beginning of the human life. You go to the jungle, you find primitive people, not touched by civilization and education. They are savages, and they lack humanity. They are missing humanity. So the beginning of humanity, or the beginning of the human person in humanity, is the beginning of that human being in his humanity. And it begins as one soul. And then God caused it to have its mate, the female. And the mate, and they produced, as God says in the Holy Quran, in the Holy Book, when a woman is in great number, we know that's not the case anymore. It's women in great numbers. Most of the scholars, in fact, I haven't met the exception. I met some very uncomfortable with it, but they wouldn't speak. Most of the scholars readily admit that women are human equal to men, that they have the same capacity for intelligent development, for education, and also for insurance roles in society, whatever those roles are, that even their physical bodies can be developed to do what a man does sick. That's what we believe. Not that we want them to do it, but that we don't want them to do that. We don't think that God intended for them to take on that kind of role in society. But the Quran chapter 9, 1 through 5, the merciful. Quran 27:30, Solomon wrote Sheba, Bismillah. Quran chapter 6, 94, you will return to us bare and alone. Isaiah 11:6, a child shall lead them. The ninth chapter, though Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, baby born 9 months, can't speak, but goes on its nature. Not only for the night of power, but for anything, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And it means it has to come from your heart and soul. If it comes from your heart and soul, you have Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you. There is only one chapter that does not begin that way. And how it is? It is the ninth chapter. And we are in the womb of our mothers for an expected 9 months. And in the ninth month, not the tenth, when the delivery is right. And the baby is too young to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The baby is just growing on its nature. The nature that God created it is supporting it. So now there are some old guys like me who are still babies, and our nature is supporting us as we do not have it up here, not yet. And a lot of us die and never get it up there. So we are the ones as long as we have good intentions. We are in God's will and in his spirit. And we are part of his revelation. So it is not given in the beginning. That means no one focuses outside of the context or outside of the text or the contents. But when you get into the body of that surah, God finds a way to give it to Muhammad, peace and the blessings be upon him. So it is there and it is not serving the purpose that the Bismillah Rahman Rahim served in the whole of the Quran. One was 113 surah or chapter. So it is inside, right? So what is it saying? When God put it inside that, inside of that, one did not have it reach his conscience. It was inside of his nature. His own nature respects Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Muslim Bismillah inscribed in our nature, yet not in our conscience. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not saying it with his mouth when he is innocent inside of his own nature. It's Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inscribed many things upon our nature. They are not in our conscience. They work in our nature. Everyone is a Muslim, but it is not in his conscience yet when he is born, but it is in his nature. It is beautiful. And Bismillah means in the name of the king or in the name of the people. What is it saying? He is saying, whenever I am doing, it's owing to the fact that I am authorized by the people of this, is authorized by the king. So when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that is exactly what we are saying. Whatever we are engaging or whatever we are getting into here, it is authorized by our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our God, who is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, what is this saying? Is that your own nature knows its benefactor. And if it is going to be redeemed, it knows its redeemer. It knows the mercy of its Lord. It does not claim anything for itself. It's just obeying the law and the will of God. So it is already performing as though it is saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now I feel like doing the bump thing on top of the table. We have about 10 minutes left. We want to bring to your mind that once again tomorrow we'll have our beloved brother Imam Donnell Kareem and he's the classmate, Imam Dorothy Muhammad. And we want you to tune in because he has a lot to tell you. So Qadir Kyle Rose crew get from it. Now the Qadir, you know, they say the cow chews the cud. I believe they got the cud from Qadir, from El Islam, from Quran. Cud for the cow, it has a reference to a second stomach. The cow eats, and when it's finished eating, it will chew again. What is it swallowing? And when it does that, it is chewing the cud. So I do believe that the cud and the qadir goes together. The English people, when they brought that word into their language, they got it from El Islam, from the Quran, the qadir, chewing the cud. Now, ladies and gentlemen, or qadir, that is the one like I'm associating with cud for the cow. Qahir runs man's shear. The night of power is better than a thousand months. Then it goes on to describe what is coming down. What happened on that night, right? Better than a thousand months. Means it's better than the continuing man's behavior under a cruel system. A thousand months, one of the translation or translators doing his commentary said it means it is better than a lifetime. That because most people do not live of 100 months, 1,000 months, pardon. It is like the life expectancy, longevity, expediency, Now do not have any problem with that. It is a good translation, an excellent translation, but I think when it says it is better than 1,000 months, it means it is better than the whole duration of your scheme to contain man's behavior under a cruel system. 3 months is a season. Culture used to control the masses. So 1,000 means its full life has been lived. So 3 months is a season, and 4 months and three, and four times three is a whole year. Now you leave the work just open a year. These cultures work to hold us for a year to get us in the summer, put us in the winter, and then bring us to spring, and then back again to summer. That is how they rotate us to govern us and keep our behavior under. So now that is just 12 months. But this is better than a 1,000 months. In the Arabic language system, this is not ordinary language. This is exorbitant language system. The language that has to be translated in order for you to understand and get the real meaning in that 1,000 months. When it's complete itself, once it completes itself, its full life has been lived. We have about 3 more minutes. And I want to thank you for listening, and I pray aloud that you're getting something out of what we're trying to give to humanity. So after 1,000, it dies, not after 12 months. In the Bible, it talks about a year with God is not the same as a year as your years. Your years are short. Your years are 12 months. And when God is talking about a year, don't think that means 12 months. Your years is short. That is all it is saying. A year with God is much longer than a year with man. So the first shall be last. The spiritual life was first. Now it is last. So the Quran chapter 2:10-14, you inherit land to test your conduct. The Quran chapter 30:20, Allah is man made from the dust. Matthew 20:16, the first shall be the last. Scripture says that it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And it is also says that the first last. So we're going to conclude here, and we thank you. We thank you very much. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless all of us with the right spirit. And our brother, Donnell Kareem, Imam Donnell Kareem, will be coming on tomorrow. Be sure and tune in at 7. And I want to thank you. Thank New Africa. Thank you. Enterprise Mirage Speaks. And I want to thank you, my listening audience, and I greet you with peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for listening. Peace be unto you.